Today's reflection is going to be taken from St. Teresa's thoughts on the Eucharist. I chose this theme, obviously, because our scriptures are about the bread of life today. We hear Jesus in John 6 speaking of himself as I am, referring to himself with his divine name, that Jehovah, Yahweh, revealed of himself on Sinai to Moses. As Catholics, sometimes we can be, maybe there might be a knee-jerk reaction in us, kind of slight subtle repulsion in us, maybe when we hear the name Jehovah, because we associate that with Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on our door and taking away Catholics from the fold and creating division in families because of their often anti-Catholic teachings. Jehovah is a valid name for God, even though it's imperfect. There really isn't a perfect name for God other than Jesus. Jesus comes the closest. Because when God revealed his name, I am who am, this reveals something very captivating about who we mean by referring to God. I am who I am. Sent you. Tell them. I am who I am. This is a metaphysical expression of God being on a whole other level than we are. He's not of the natural order. He cannot be fully captured and understood, comprehended by anything in creation. He is far above and beyond creation in essence. And so though everything that he has made is mysteriously a reflection of some aspect of his unseen beauty, and it all is a divine come on to attract us to who he is, because in some mysterious way, everything of the creation mirrors something, a glimpse about the Creator, something about his beauty, his truth and his goodness is written in all the universe, in everything created, from the minerals to the cosmos, from the stars to the way our minds work. Everything is stamped with the grandeur of God and his wisdom. So it all speaks to us of God's beauty, which is meant to be fascinating and captivating, intriguing, intoxicating. But none of it, taken together, could fully capture who God is in his essence. Who God is in his essence is beyond our human comprehensibility, understanding. God is transcendent as well as immanent. And in the Western Church, we really lose sight of God's transcendence. In the Western Church, we've really dubbed down the sacred mystery. And we need to recapture what's at the heart of Christianity and the root of Christian mysticism as it was experienced by the early church saints and known so well by John and Teresa. I am who I am. God's whose essence is to exist. He is the cause of our becoming. He is ultimately the incomprehensible one, supreme perfection, the absolute absolute, that of which nothing greater can be conceived. He is ultimate reality. He is being itself, the act of being itself. And so all these philosophical terms about what we mean by God points us in a right direction, a proper understanding of God as distinct from his creation, as what we properly mean by supernatural, above all that is naturally made. So this is what I am who am means, is that he cannot be captured by anything created. He can't be fully comprehended by our human concepts and reasoning and understanding, but they can help to point us in the right direction. And that's why God in the Old Testament commanded, don't make any images of me. Because in order for you to know my true face, you have to get beyond these false representations of me. Because I cannot be fully grasped by being represented by an eagle or a lion or a buffalo or this or that. Anything that I have made, it can't fully capture me. No human being, no matter how good they may be, can fully capture all of who I am in my being truth itself, beauty itself, goodness itself, mercy itself. And so for that reason, God had to clean the slate of our religious consciousness and just allow us to be emptied of all these images of what we make of God in order for God to begin to teach us his true identity. And ultimately, it's in the incarnation where we see the face of God. This great mystery of how, of the God-man. God, who is in no need of us, became one with us. And Jesus fully reveals the face of God in human form. And so now we have a physical image, a true representation. And in the new covenant's relationship with God, because of the incarnation, now we have something tangible by which we can really relate to God better than any other way that we could make up for ourselves. And so now we have access to understanding this magnificent mystery of God. And it's such a wonderful mystery. And children oftentimes will ask in catechisms, there's usually one child who at some point will ask, well, if God made everything, who made God? And this is pointing to what we mean by this I am who am. His essence is to exist. He is the cause of everything, of which there is. He is the only one of whom there is no origin, and who is the goal of all that is, for whom and through whom all things were made. And yet this God is not simply a transcendent reality, but he enters into a relationship with us in a way that's utterly personal and fully human. And he does that above all in his only begotten Son, who is not simply a holy one or the saint of all saints, not just another sage, a great teacher, not just an enlightened being, not simply a godly man, but God made man, who makes the invisible God invisible and tangible. As St. John says in the early church, we have touched the mystery. We have grasped it in our hands. We've sunk our teeth into it. We've sunk our teeth into it, especially through the Eucharist. This is the extension of the incarnation. This is the extension of this mystery of how the transcendent God became Emmanuel, God with us, became immanent in our midst, and he becomes tangible in our hands. Why? Because he is as pure love. God's being is to love. Because as his being in essence is love, he is utterly humble, because there is no true love without humility. And in his great humility, as St. Therese says, love's true nature is to come down. It's to come on the level of those who is the object of love. And so God in his humility comes down to our level in order to raise us up to his level of eternal life, of divinity, of supernatural immortality. All these are abstract words, but they point to something that is just so deeply personal, and that's written in our humanity, that's written in what we're made for. But the Eucharist is the deepening, the most deepest experience of this mystery that we could possibly have this side of eternity. The Eucharist is at the heart of the life of the Trinity. The Eucharist is entering into this mystical marriage with God, this wedding feast of salvation that we call heaven. This ultimate love story that is consummated in this perfect union, which we call heaven, that's all given to us as a foretaste in Holy Communion and Eucharist through the sacrament of salvation. And it is a foretaste of the eternal banquet, of what it means to be taken into the love of the Father for the Son through the Spirit. This is the bread that that Jesus wants to feed us from heaven. And St. John of the Cross, in one of his great poems that he wrote while imprisoned in Toledo for those 9 months, it's a series of poems that he titles The Romances, because our faith in its essence is a divine love story. It's a love story. It's a divine romance with God, who loves us first. And that's the emphasis. This divine romance, it's about God's love for us. And everything flowing, all creation, all of redemption, all of sanctification, all of mystical evolution comes from Him who is love. And this explosion of love, this initiation and outgoing, outburst of love. And we're being drawn into this love, especially through the Eucharist. And so St. Paul would refer to the sacrament of Christ, the sacrament of this mystery, coming to us in Jesus, all the mystery of all mysteries of God's identity and our destiny is all contained in the person of Christ. And it's celebrated, it's lived, it's received and entered into through the sacrament of baptism and Eucharist especially. And so we are called to enter into this eternal victory here and now through communion, through Eucharistic celebration, through Eucharistic intimacy. And so for this reason, the Blessed Sacrament has always been a central part of the life of every saint. Because every saint, every close friend of God in our Catholic tradition has known through the enlightenment of God, through the dispositions and understanding of God, has discovered and seen and experience the reality of what the Eucharist is. And therefore, they have made that freely the center of their spiritual life. And so much of their spiritual life flows from this mystery of Christ in Holy Communion that leads to union with the Trinity, the love of all loves. So let's listen to Saint Teresa speak to us about her devotion to this sacrament. Sometimes after receiving communion, I was at peace. And sometimes in approaching the sacrament, I felt at once so good in soul and body that I was surprised. It seems that in only a moment, all the darkness of the soul disperses. This is a wonderful insight into an experience that is available to every believing Christian who comes to the sacrament with faith. In a moment, Jesus can alleviate our person from afflictions of soul and body through Holy Communion. For example, a person could be journeying through life and experiencing a heaviness that is felt in the body, being lethargic, a heaviness that's felt in the soul in regards to our attitudes being a bit jaded, just tired, maybe passive aggression negative sarcasm has entered into our attitudes, critical spirit, complaining has entered into our soul. And so we're worn out by the journey. And in a single moment, doesn't happen every time, but God is capable of doing it. He could surprise us. And in a single moment of intimacy through the Eucharist, the Lord can